Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. Now God will bless to us the reading of his precious word, and that which you've heard already this afternoon. Certainly nice to hear the report of our brother Thrope this afternoon on the assembly here over so many years. And it's a wonderful thing when an assembly under attack all the time, and yet to survive, we can be very, very thankful. We know today that assemblies aren't being planted as they once were, but thank God for assemblies that are being planted in various places and the hard work that goes into it. But we always need to remember that because it's of God and it has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be sure of this. Every assembly is under attack. And it's always attack that is very subtle, very subtle. And that's what we have here, I believe, and I'd like to bring before you for a few minutes in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 33. We're speaking here about leaven, meal, and a woman. A woman. Now, first of all, I want to mention the meal, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal. The meal, if you look at it and think of it as the meal offering, it certainly speaks to us of the Lord Jesus Christ, the fine flour. It speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ and his sinless humanity, his life lived for the glory of God. Whereas the death of Christ would speak to us of his death as the burnt offering would speak of the glory of God in his death. Now you can think of the three measures of meal. We find this in the Old Testament in connection with Abraham in Genesis chapter 15. And we find it again in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 24 in connection with Hannah. And also again in the book of Judges in connection with Gideon. 3 measures of meal. And those 3 measures, it would seem that speak of fellowship. Fellowship. For we have it in the case of Abraham, fellowship. It also is linked up with the subject of hospitality. You can see that an assembly surviving on the basis of fellowship. They had all things common. There was a unique bond of partnership and equal responsibility, bearing each equal privileges in that assembly of fellowship. And then it flooded over, as it were, into that hospitality, taking people from the company into their homes and having hospitality. And that's what you have in the case of Abraham there. Get this flour, fine flour ready now and make up for these guests that we have. And speaking of hospitality. Now, what we have in assembly fellowship is something we are very, very thankful for. There's no place in the world like it, friends. There are many people that would try to speak about other places. Well, not to say nothing about that, but I'll tell you, friends, I was raised in other places. I was raised there, and I have a good idea from my background what it's like. But the unique fellowship that we have in an assembly, there's nothing to compare with it on this earth. And you can be sure that the devil is out to destroy that fellowship that we have one with another. It's based on the death of Christ and the doctrine concerning the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, from whence comes the unity amongst the people of God. But the devil hates that fellowship. He hates the assembly of God, and he attacks the person of Christ. Over in the book of Revelation, when you take up the 7 churches there, you'll find that Satan's name is mentioned 5 times and the devil once. Found in there, his seat, like his throne, his dwelling, the depths of Satan, the synagogue of Satan mentioned 2 times, and so on. He's very prominent in those 7 churches because he works to destroy what we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to be aware of all this in this aspect. Then remember, the 3 measures would speak of the fellowship, and thank God for the fellowship we have one with another through the Lord Jesus Christ. The great difficulties they had in the 1 Corinthians, in the Corinthian assembly, But you know, the first part of chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, isn't it wonderful to see? We're brought into the fellowship of His Son. Now that's wonderful in spite of all the divisions and the worldliness and the more immorality and so on. Emphasis on the fellowship of His Son. How much do we value that fellowship that we have one with another through our Lord Jesus Christ and the local companies that we are in fellowship with? Now what we have here then in these three measures of meal, we have here which a woman took, leaven, and hid in three measures of meal until the whole was leavened. A woman took some leaven and placed it in the meal until the whole was leavened. This woman, she worked for the destruction of the fellowship, of assembly fellowship, worked for that destruction. Now, we could give you ideas of who the woman is and so on and so forth, but you know, you could look at Revelation chapter 2 and verse 18, and you'd find there that Jezebel is mentioned, the woman, that held up in scriptures as the evil woman of all time in Jezebel. And what she had done there to teach, forbidden, fornication, mentioned, and taking meats offered to idols and so on. Just like leaven coming into that church, a destructive thing coming in. And this woman took leaven and hid in the three measures of meal. So, now what do you think? This leaven, what would that be? Now there are people that have a wrong idea about leaven. I don't want to go into it, and that's to say that it's a wrong idea. Leaven is always evil in the Word of God. Leaven is never looked at as anything but evil in the Word of God. For leaven, it puffs up. It swells, causes swelling, swollen condition. It breaks up. It disintegrates. That's what it does. That's what it's responsible for. Exactly the way it works is to puff up, bring a swollen condition in, break up, or disintegrate. Now we call it in the modern time, it's yeast. A woman puts it in the meal that she might bake bread. But to stop the process of puffing up and breaking, she beats it down. Then to stop it again, why, she puts it in the oven. And she bakes it to stop that destructive process going on. Now, when you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and Galatians chapter 5 and 9, you find that Paul mentions in two cases there, he says, a little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump. Just a little leaven. It doesn't take that much. Just a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. You know, elders and teachers and evangelists and pastors amongst us, they need to be very wise and careful as to watch and to keep an eye that no leaven comes into the assembly. It must at all costs be kept out, or there's going to be a destructive process at work until the whole is leavened. Sometimes, you know, you think, oh, well, it's gone away. Oh, yeah, that, sure glad that disappeared. But, you know, I knew a lady a few years ago, and she was an English lady, and her name was Mrs. Smart. And she told me she wasn't long married, but she was trying to bake bread, and she just couldn't manage it. So one day when the boys got home from school, she said to the boy, now, I want you to take this dough out to the back of the yard and spread it around out there. It's not going to rise, and your father's coming home, and I don't want him to see the waste of the ingredients. So the boy took it all out to the backyard, spread it out there, and that's fine. It's out of sight. And the snow came, covered over the whole yard. It's gone, so the woman thought. But you know, all winter it froze, just frozen stiff under that snow. But you know, at this time of the year, the sun was out, beating on the snow. And she said, I looked out into the yard, saw the snow melting away. And then she said, I couldn't believe my eyes. There were lumps across the back of the yard, starting to come up. You see, you think it's all gone. You think it's destroyed and out of sight. Remember, it'll come back. It'll come back So Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5, he says, purge out the old leaven. Purge it out. Get in there and cut it away. Cut it back. Clean it completely. Out completely. Don't spare the knife. Sometimes when people go in for surgery and cancer and we're looking for a report back and wondering now, how did it go? How did it go? And we say now, did they get it all? That's what their big concern is. Did they get all the cancer out? Because they know if anything's left there, it's going to start up and work a great deal in a destructive force. Clean it all out completely. Oh, that we might see now what this leaven is like. You know, sometimes we have people amongst us, and maybe we're guilty of it ourselves. We say, well, if only we could see more done amongst our little group. If only more people would come in. If only more people would get saved and we have a great revival like they're having over yonder, over somewhere else. Well, remember, all that may not just be what you really want after all. You know, when I first got married, my wife worked for 6 months. She's a nurse, so she went to the hospital to work for 6 months, and that was fine. But you know, one Saturday I was home alone and waiting for my wife to get off work, and I thought, man, I'll just start the supper. And so I got a pot on the stove with water, got the water on the stove, and I took a cup of macaroni, dropped it into that water, I'll prepare supper. Well, you know, when that thing hit to the bottom of the pot, it looked like nothing. Nothing in the pot, so I better take another one. Oh, another one. Oh, that'll probably do us. But you know, when that water started to boil, that stuff started to swell. And I had to get another pan, put it over like that. It started to swell more. Where's the big roaster? I got that out. And the thing was swelling all around. Wow. Well, you see, that's what leaven does. It gives you the increase you're looking for. Is that the kind of increase you really want? After all, friends, that is unreal type of increase, but that's what leaven does. It swells and, as it were, looks great, but it's just a breaking up on the inside often, and disintegration comes in. And what about this leaven amongst the people of God today that we need to be on our guard against? Well, I'll tell you what, it's no different than what it was in the days of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 12, the Lord Jesus Christ said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. That's hypocrisy, he said. The leaven of the Pharisees, hypocrisy. Now I'm not looking at you this afternoon as a hypocrite. That's likely you're not that at all. Why, you're true. You're real. You're like the three measures of meal. Honest, sincere, and full of truth. Thank God for that. But you know, before we leave today, we might be a hypocrite. There might be something hypocritical about us, even before leaving the conference. Why, you say, what would that be? Well, what could it be? It's appearing in the guise of something you're not. And so it's judging undercover. You see, the town clown, the town actor, that's not the real photo of his life. He might be the doctor, the lawyer, the accountant in town, or the town judge. But for this day, he puts on the act. He's the clown. He's the leader of the parade. He's the belle of the ball. You see, he's acting out something that he isn't in real life. And that's the danger in our assemblies, that we have people that are acting something they're not. And the danger is that I may present myself to you as being a great spiritual person and so on. And really, after all, I'm not that at all. That's the leaven of the Pharisees' hypocrisy. Now we need to deal with that ourselves, each one of us, to get into the presence of God, that hypocrisy might be removed from us. The guise might be removed, and we might stand, as it were, in the presence of God, sincere, honest, and open, truthful in all things. The danger of hypocrisy, a little of it, could destroy the whole lump. Then you have the leaven of the Sadducees. The Sadducees. And you know, that is rationalism. And rationalism That was a bad thing. You know, we have a lot of that today. That's people like, you know, they say, well, if we can see it, I believe it. Smell it, feel it. All the things that they can handle and look at and make. And they don't just believe in angels. Or they don't believe in the resurrection. Or the supernatural. But we do. We are believers in the supernatural. We believe in a supreme being. And that God is a God of all power. And He's the great provider in every way. And a marvelous God that we have. And the book that He has given us cannot be learned, as it were, by science or education. It's something that's revealed to us by the Holy Spirit of God. And we want to, as it were, keep back the spirit of rationalism, which is the leaven of the Sadducees. It's a sad, sad thing that rationalism or that comes in amongst us, say, well, that can't be done anymore, you know. That can't be done anymore. Why not? You'd think that they believe that God has changed. Friends, God has not changed. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. But then we have the leaven of the Herodians. The leaven of the Herodians. Now the Herodians, they were descendants of Esau. Read about them in the book of Obadiah. The descendants of Esau. What did Esau do? What's in the big issue in his life? He sold. And for a mess of pottage. Just to get something. What was that? Materialism. Herodians, materialism. You know, that is in the world today so strong. The power and influence by wealth is the greatest thing you can have. Now we should not believe that. We should not be taken in with that belief. And that belief should never be conveyed to our children or to new converts in any way that we would ever think that, for or believe that, whatever, that materialism and all that sort of thing is the way to go. Remember, the leaven of the Herodians was, it lends itself to covetousness and greed, and spoken of as materialism. That's the age in which we live today. My, if we could only see now, there's that danger that I could just slip into that. That could come into my life and so affect my life, that leaven. It doesn't take a great deal of it, just a little bit of it. And you know, it works away until it destroys the whole lump. When you think, now, well, how can I guard my family against this materialistic age in which we live in? Because, you know, it just doesn't stop with materialism and a great influence. It runs over into violence, promiscuity, drugs, and all these other things are associated in along the same line. Now, you know, parents, the wise move is teach to have a strong family ties. A strong family influence preserves from this type of thing, to show them the truths that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You know, when Paul spoke and wrote to the Corinthians, he spoke to them about the leaven of malice and wickedness in 1 Corinthians 5. And that was the occasion for, as it were, purge out the old leaven, that you might be a new lump. Now, Corinth, you might say, was a wonderful thing in the first place, to have an assembly in a place like Corinth, a very evil seaport with all that went on around it. Now, it's a wonderful thing just to have an assembly there. But Paul wasn't satisfied just to have an assembly. He wanted an assembly there that was free from a little leaven, free from a little leaven, free from worldliness, free from divisions, and free from this immorality. So he says, now, you purge out the old leaven. Now, how do we handle that situation? 1 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, we cannot allow things just to slip. What we believed in times past, remember, the Word of God hasn't changed. The Word of God is the same. And we must look at it and say, now, here it is. Thus saith the Scriptures, and we'll carry it out, that this might be, leaven must be purged out. Now, the sin there was of immorality. And that was a sad situation. But you look at their past life and you say, what else did they know? It's not what else did they know. It's what they should be now as new creatures in our Lord Jesus Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I've known of cases where they tried to treat sin of this nature in a different way, to great regret as to what is laid out in the Word of God. Not that anyone would carry out discipline with hardness or with meanness, but it's done with gentleness and love and care. Purge out the old leaven. You see, from one thing leads to another. If you allow this leaven to stay, it will affect the whole lump, and you'll have malice and wickedness abounding. So it must be purged out, cleaned out completely. Then it says that you might be a new lump, a whole new lump. Now, when you think of a new lump, as it were, you take that fine flour and the meal, and it's mixed up and mixed together as you'd mix dough. It's also used in the same way as a pharmacist would mix his prescription, stir it together, mix it in together. And so a new lump comes in. Now, this new lump is something that didn't exist before. It's this altogether new, altogether something brand new for these people. And so we have there in 2 Corinthians chapter 15 and 7, 5 and 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. My, it's a wonderful thing when it's not just a wipe it off, and, you know, give it a whitewash job. No, it's a complete new lump. Now, let's just think for a minute. This evil woman, sneaky woman, she took, and she knew, she must have known that she was up to some evil that was of no good, for it says she hid it in three measures of meal. You can see now that the deceptive of the devil. In Matthew 13, the first four parables there are under a special attack of the devil. The first one having to do with the sower is satanic opposition. And then you have sinister imitation in the wheat and the tares. And then in the mustard seed, you have sensational expansion. Read, look at this, look what's going on. And then when the meal here and the leaven, you have a sinister infiltration. That's very, very, you need to be very, very careful. I lock my suitcases now, my bags. I lock my bags. You say, what do you do that for? Well, up in the airports in Canada, they recommend that you put a lock and lock your bags when you travel. You might just turn your back and somebody could just drop some drugs or something in your bag unknown to you until you cross the border, and then they could hold you up and say, want your bag. You see, if you make it across the border. So lock your bag. Now, the locks are very small locks. They're nothing you couldn't break or get away on, you see. But I don't want anyone sneaking around and trying to drop something into my bag. Surprising, I've even been in homes where, unknown to me, marijuana was being grown in the house. Huh. If they took that and dropped that into my bag, I'd have my problems too. You see? But you see, that's the where the devil works. He's not working in the open, where all you elders can see what's going on. He's working undercover. And he's dealing undercover because he wants to destroy the fellowship and the harmony of the assembly, and he knows best how to do it. You see, that word leaven, it comes from a root word the same as the word zeal or the word envy. Now, leaven, it works in the dark. Hid away in the dark, it works. And it comes from the word, it means to boil, or something that heats up. And then there's that expansion. And so from that you get zeal is a good thing. Envy is a bad thing. And one is zeal is when it's something inspired of God. That's good. Zeal for God and the things of God. But the same word could be used for envy. Now envy is like zeal that's motivated by self. Selfish ambition. Now envy we know is as the rottenness of the bones. Doesn't that ring a bell? As to be similar to leaven? You know, I heard one time, all the weight you can put on your legs, you know, at your shins from your knees down. And really, it was tons, I thought. But it never been as amazing. But a lot of weight. Those bones are able to take a great amount of weight. But if rottenness steps in, you wouldn't want to put your own weight on those feet of yours and your legs, because they would crumble. And so we need to be ever so careful and to be wise and watchful, not as spies, not going about as detectives, but as being wise, understanding what the will of the Lord is, that we may be able to see when the evil worker is at work to do things that are wrong. He used to put it like this, you need a good sniffer, a good smeller. Someone that can sniff things out and see that this isn't just exactly right. There's something fictitious or imitation about this. And a wise, godly man, a pastor, overseer, teacher, will be able to discern. And they'll be able to bring this thing to light and deal with it. Something that's being carried on in the dark. Now we need to be as wise as serpents in all these things, and yet as harmless as doves. When you get over to Matthew, the book of Galatians chapter 5 and verse 9, it has to do there the leaven with the leaven of evil doctrine. And that is legalism in Galatians. You know, one thing the assemblies have been preserved from, and we can be very thankful, we've been preserved from evil doctrine. Preserved from it. Sad to say, a number of people will leave the assembly from time to time in different parts of the country. And there's no telling as to where they're going to end up and what evil doctrine they're going to take in and follow. But we're thankful to say, for the most part, assemblies have been preserved from evil doctrine. And I believe that God has honored the exercise of our brethren and sisters is to give the place, the Word of God, its proper place, and extol and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of His love, and has preserved us in the evil day, that evil teaching that does abound. But you know what is having Galatians is legalism. People would take you back to the law. Someone would take you back to what you do or how you do it and so on. Where Paul would mention that our salvation rests alone on the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. It never has been of works. If it's of works, then it's not of faith. But thank God we are justified by faith. And we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thankful to say, if we're saved by faith, that's just simply the way we want to live, as by faith. Now many might want to bring in another teaching on the thing and so on. But just remember, Paul speaks of that as being leaven, and it needs to be cleaned out. Now may God bless His word and any thoughts expressed on this verse today.